In this week's Service Technician segment, we're going to hear once again from Gary Ellix. You know, last week Gary talked about the importance of setting specific goals. He's going to continue that conversation today. So join me and Gary Ellix in talking about the importance of setting specific goals as a service technician.
The third goal would be the accessory opportunities. Now, not all customers are going to want to invest in an accessory, and some customers may already have accessories, and that's fine. But there are gaps in a lot of the consuming public's list of accessories as far as their equipment. So if you're in the north, you might have humidifiers. If you're in the south, you might have dehumidifiers. If you're out west, you probably don't have either one of those things. But you might have IAQ, and you might have filtration systems, and we certainly have lots of IAQ products that we can talk about. So depending, again, on your company's profile for its accessory list, one of the things we're going to talk about later in the video series with technician communication is, you know, we have some tools available through the process of the iPad where we can, you know, swipe through and explain to a client what the accessory is, what the price is, what the benefit is, and why a consumer might be interested in that. So the question becomes, if we have the tools, training, and resources, and we have opportunities, why wouldn't we offer customers the education process on an IAQ device? What does a UV light do? Why is it important? What does an HRV or an ERV do? Why is it important? So most technicians have not necessarily been trained as well as we would like to see relative to the product. And so if I'm not aware or educated on the product, it's unlikely that I personally will offer insights into the product. It just stands to reason. I don't want to embarrass myself, and I wouldn't expect my technicians to do that. One of the things I've learned over time is the better job we do of training the service group on the specific product, and not just the features of the product, which is, hey, IAQ does, you know, eradicate certain types of bacteria and viruses and those types of things inside of the kill radius, but what's the benefit to the client? I mean, if the client has allergies and, you know, you have the ability to affect positively the work or the environment in the home, then why wouldn't you offer that? So the first rule of thumb in technician communication and selling is you have to eliminate your biases and you have to eliminate your personal assumptions. Because you believe something or you don't believe something doesn't mean that you should limit me for what my belief system is based on accessories. So the reality is I do want to know about those product and services. My family might benefit from that. And so whether or not you personally have that in your home or whether you personally have that belief system, your job is to look at the product and service portfolio and understand it well enough that you let the consumer decide. So some people like to drive big cars. Some people like to drive economy cars, electric cars. And so there's no right or wrong on that. It's just a belief system and what their interests are. So from your point of view as a service group, you need to understand that accessories are a group. And so we have this group of closure rates attached to what the accessories are. Some of that, again, is going to be determined based on the price. So if I give it to you for free, most people would say, well, sure, you'd have 100% uptake. Why wouldn't I do that? If I charge you $1 million, you may not sell one. But if you have a price point and a club program that makes it easy for a customer to actually engage. So an example for us is we like to see our closure rate here, about 1 out of 12 service calls that result in a closure rate relative to an accessory. So that's different than a equipment sale. And the reason it's 1 out of 12 is a lot of customers may already have some of those accessories in our marketplace. But the principle here is if we give the customer the opportunity and we ask the right questions, a lot of customers might say, well, sure, go ahead. So here's a couple things to write down, and this is part of the club agreement discussion. It's also in the videos on service agreements. We always offer the customer an immediate transaction opportunity because we're there on a service agreement today. So I'll have an accessory like an upgraded thermostat or a UV light or a humidification system or an upgraded filtration system, and I'm going to give the customer a discount if they invest in it today, and I'm going to put two guarantees on that. I'm going to put a best value, lowest cost guarantee, so you're welcome to put that in, and if you want to look around online, other contractors, I don't care, you're not going to find it any less expensive. Since the recovery of the cost for you, the technician, to already be present in the home has been recovered because the customer has paid for the service agreement, I've already got the money necessary to put you in position. I don't really have any costs associated with that. I only have the product cost and the wage and the spiff, the bonus that I intend to pay you. So from that point of view, the cost can be reduced to what we call, you know, the sale or the gross profit dollar, and I'll go through that later. And then the second guarantee is I'm going to give you a 30-day test drive. Try it out. Take 30 days. See how it works. If you like it, we'll ding the credit card on the 30th day. So we're going to collect that information. That way the customer has no risk. It's mitigated. And so what that does is it allows us to create some transactions for some clients that we might otherwise not have normally created. So what we've done is we've given the technicians some accessory opportunities and closure rate opportunities that exist. I've seen companies that produce 1 out of 8 transactions here. It's a very difficult thing to do, and some of that depends on the age of the demographics of the units outside in your, you know, your universe of homes. 1 out of 12 is something that we can set as a goal, and we can be effective. Now, if I have a technician that's outside of this range, some of the guys that are watching this video might say, well, I'm not getting the calls. They're only giving the calls, you know, to, you know, Tech A or Tech B, and those are better calls. Well, over a period of a year and over a period of time, this all averages out. The dispatcher and the customer service group who might be controlling where we're sending our men, they're not targeting a particular group of accessories. There's absolutely truth in the idea that we would target that on lead turnover. So a senior selling technician or a specific trained technician might get the benefit of the doubt on the calls here. And so that's something that we'll talk about in a bit. But relative to accessories, there's no real way to know that. So what we're going to do is we're going to put the technician in a position to be trained, understand how to make that transaction occur, give them the best value, lowest cost, and the 30-day test drive guarantees, and then put a pricing structure together that makes it simplistic for the homeowner. It makes it economically beneficial, and there has to be some understanding of the product and the features and benefits. So set some goals for yourself about what your accessories are. I do fully intend to pay you on that transaction. In fact, if we just take the thermostat and we just take a basic upgraded stat, we'll call the stat price $130. If I pay you $25 to install it and then pay you $20 as a bonus, $45 would be your compensation takeaway down here on number 10. You would be benefiting $45, and it might take you, let's say, a half an hour to 45 minutes max to install that thermostat. So that's a good wage for the return of your time. The question is, you know, is it a proper thing to do for the homeowner? Are they interested? Do they want that product? So as long as they do and we've gone through the process correctly, then obviously the transactions here make sense. We've got the three-legged stool. The customer is winning and they're satisfied and they've got a good product. You're winning, you're satisfied because we've created compensation for you on a call that really probably wouldn't have had the same compensation. And the third is the company wins because the company is going to produce some gross profit dollars. And so everybody is winning. That's a win-win-win situation. And that's great for everybody's attitude. It's great for the success pattern. But it starts with a goal-setting process that says we should identify what a reasonable number of opportunities are and what a reasonable number of closure rate is based on that standard. Fourth area is IAQ. So we do separate standard accessories from specific IAQ accessories. Now, Steve is going to do a lot of video work, and if you haven't seen any of the work that he's already produced, when you log on to the IAQ section, Steve is going to work through the various products and why the IAQ product accessories actually make sense. In other words, a level of understanding based on the product that we discussed here. So the closure rate here is typically about 1 out of 15. So not everybody has allergies. Not everybody has an interest in IAQ. And some people are only going to be there for 4 or 5 years, and so they don't want to necessarily invest. But what we know is that the IAQ products are very specific. They do solve specific problems for people like my son, who has some pretty severe allergies. So we've got all kinds of stuff in our particular systems. We've got a multiple, it's a mechanically zoned system with a couple of different split systems. And so on the air handling side, you know, we have not only UV lights, but a charcoal filtration system, treated filters inside of the dwelling, and so forth. We've got an ERV system that's, exchanging air, returning energy back to the system, but also treating that by bringing the return air back through where the UV lights are. So the system itself is geared to try to clean and make the air hospitable for my son. The next discussion then brings us to lead turnovers, because some of that discussion here is based on just the opportunity. Now, when I get into the repair versus replace video, you will see that we have some very specific rules right here. So our lead turnover rate here is also 1 out of 15. That's a goal that we have set for each individual technician. There are technicians that produce much better lead turnover rates than that. So you can absolutely do better than that. So don't use this as the gold standard. Use this as a basic to say that, well, we shouldn't be less than this. We can do better. Part of that is going to be the age of the equipment again. So when we look at the age of the equipment, you know, if all I'm ever seeing is over 10-year-old pieces of equipment, my ratio and my goal setting process can be much better. If I'm seeing nothing but 3-year-old pieces of equipment, it's going to be difficult to create a new equipment lead turnover or an equipment sale based on a 3-year-old, you know, standard type, say 14 or 16 SEER piece of equipment, 90% gas furnace or 80% two-stage variable speed in our market. Or if you're out and you're in the Northeast and you're doing boilers and it's a brand new system, it doesn't make sense. From the homeowner's point of view, they would rather make their repair and effect a service agreement, which supports the opportunity up here. That becomes this opportunity, not this opportunity. So these work together, but they also have separate ideas. So when we talk about the age of the equipment, one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to say, well, what is the opportunity? Meaning that not every single call that you go on is an opportunity, which is why 1 out of 15 works. But from a time to time, we're going to run into these pieces of equipment that are 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 years old. If you're in Florida or you're on the ocean and you've got saltwater conditions, basically coastal areas, this might even be, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 years old because the salt is corrosive and deals, you know, it starts eating coils and starts doing things that we don't normally see, for example, in Arizona or California or some of the Midwestern areas. So the essence of this goal setting process is if we can turn 1 out of 15, hey, I might pay you, you know, compensation of, say, $125 a box. I'm not saying that's what you should be paid. I'm saying that's essentially what we pay. If that's a standard per box and it's a split system lead turnover and it sells, then the technician gets a $250 lead turnover fee. And so his incentive, of course, is to make sure that it's a qualified lead, because if it doesn't sell, there is no compensation. So what we've done is we've aligned the goal setting process here with the compensation process. And that's a good thing. That's better than paying somebody, say, $50 or $75 a box for any lead, and then we send out comfort advisors or senior selling technicians, and they arrive on a site and they find out that it's not a proper lead. You know, it's a 6 or 7 year old system, and we just did something like talk a customer into, hey, well, it's a free estimate, so you might as well do it. And so the compensation occurs for the service technician. That's out of alignment, and we would never recommend that idea.